See, this song, the prophet Zechariah talked about it. He said that to build my temple is not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. So, today we want to talk about greatest gift. That's the theme for our message today. Greatest gift. I'm sure some of you might have received flyers like this, pointing to the heavens, that a time like this for Christmas, we need to experience the greatest gift for ourselves. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5. I'll read. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Today, I just want you to understand that Jesus Christ, whom we are going to celebrate this Christmas, that most people's attention and priorities are focused on Christmas, He is the greatest gift to this world. That is why I want to celebrate that. Jesus is the greatest gift of God. Greatest gift that God has given to the world. So at this time of the year that you are thinking of preparing for Christmas and giving gifts to people, I would like you to journey with me today through the eyes of God. Because the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. On Christmas Day, certainly in our country, or in your homes, I don't know who would not celebrate Christmas. We have a bank holiday. You see, they don't want to upset some people, they call it bank holiday. But they're taking a holiday because it's Christmas Day. I want you to understand that. The banks are closed. They're not taking your money anymore unless you go online. They have a way of taking it back anyway. But I just want you to understand that at this time, the prophet Isaiah was saying that a time is going to come that you hear someone in the wilderness shouting, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Today I want to encourage you that if you listen to what I'm saying and you open your heart, the crooked places in your life will be made smooth. The valleys in your life will be covered. The mountains shall come low. If you receive this greatest gift as your own and take it home to yourself. See, the birth of Jesus Christ is a historical fact, undeniable, which was not only recorded in the Bible, but even world history and events corroborate that. That means backs it up. World history backs up the birth of Jesus Christ. When the prophet Isaiah, God's spokesperson, made that statement that we just read earlier on, about a voice that will be heard in the wilderness stating, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. No one had an idea what he was talking about and what the reality is going to pan out to be. And that was 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. 700 years later, what Isaiah the prophet, the spokesperson of God, said came into fruition. It was fulfilled. Keep journeying with me. Around 430 years BC, or 430 BC, that's the way to pronounce to say it, another prophet, God's spokesperson, called Malachi, said someone will come to prepare the way of the Lord. That person will come in the spirit of Elijah, who will turn the hearts of the fathers and the children to God. And today are there fathers in this house. Today are there children in this house. I want to appeal to you that God wants to turn your heart towards God. God wants you to come home to God. God wants to build an intimacy with you. But hear this. Elijah brought the supernatural power of God to demonstrate his power to turn the hearts of people who had a badge that they were Christians, who had a badge that they were God's people. He came to turn them to him because they were then far from God. Like Alice was saying, they had pitched their tent somewhere and they were not moving any further. That's as far as they will go. And the moment you begin to pitch your tent, you're not going anywhere. You can never climb the Everest and say, I've conquered the Everest, if you go somewhere and pitch your tent at key stage 1, or key stage 2, or key stage 3, until you go to the summit, you're stuck. You haven't achieved anything. You'll just be frozen. If you're not careful, you die. What's the point? So today, I just want you to understand that someone will come in the spirit of Elijah to shout in the desert and say, make straight the way of the Lord. He says, I'm going to give you the greatest gift for Christmas that you can ever go home with. And that is Jesus. But Elijah, during his days, the people of God had two minds. They had a name that they worship God. But then when they leave God, they also go and worship the Baals. And they want to go and worship the Asherahs. In case you want to know what it is, that means they had their own gods. Other things were priority for them. It could be their job was the most priority things, their security, what they will put in future for themselves. And I know for sure that no one dies. Both my parents are dead and I never saw. I mean, even if I had put even 10 pounds in their coffin to be useless. Because they cannot respond, not alone, let alone even spend it. If you have money, it's good. It can do a lot of things. But don't let that be the only priority in your life. If you wear the badge as a child of God. Today I want to encourage you that when Elijah came, the people's hearts were so far, were so cold, and the people were so, two-faced. Because one minute they're worshiping God, they go back to immorality. They go back to cheating. They go back to come into the house of God today, the next day they don't come. Even when they come to the house of God, or when they went to the house of God, it meant nothing to them. The moment that Jezebel brought an attraction, they ran to it. The moment that Ahab brought an attraction, they ran to it. The moment that the Baals brought an attraction, they ran to it. They were running here and there, and yet they call themselves Christians. That is the situation in our country right now. The situation with many people right now. And when people are in such a stage, you cannot easily just preach for them to come to God. Because there were other prophets before Elijah. They preached and they did not hear. There were the Hosea's and many more. They did not hear. But then Elijah had to come in and demonstrate the power of God. And when they saw the power of God, where they had an altar soaked with water, filled with water all around it, and then he prayed, and power from high came, and the Spirit of God, and the power of God, and the fire of God came from high, and to consume that sacrifice. You know what? They saw signs and wonders and miracles. From there, they knew that this is not the work of man. So they said, Lord, God, you are God. We will worship you. That is why we as a church, we just don't want to be just there Christians. We just don't want to be Christians who are looking forward to, Christmas. And around this time, most Christians literally are so laid back that they are unconscious of who God is. They don't actually think about God, you know. What they think about is the presents, the Christmas tree, the lights, the decorations, the visitors, and the food. That's all what Christians think about. And if you're in church or a pastor, you're only thinking about to deliver the most wonderful sermon. And who will come to the Christmas Eve service? That's all that you are thinking about. Not so. Not so, said the prophet Isaiah. Not so, said the prophet Elijah. He had to demonstrate power. That's why our faith is not a matter of talk. Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. It's not a matter of talk, but it's a matter of power. Hallelujah. So today, I just want to to continue pressing on and say, journey with me. Those people, when they saw the power of God, they say, yes, God. And in this church, people have seen the power of God being demonstrated. Last week, we were worshiping. And the presence of God came here so powerfully. God touching people. God healing people. God delivering people. That was incredible. And today is incredible. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Then about 5 BC, guess what happened? The Romans ruled that part of the world into which Jesus Christ was born into. 5 BC. Romans brought three things, which were major things in their empire. They brought many things, but three were major. They brought taxes. Yes, because they need to expand their empire. They need to build their empire. So they brought taxes. They also brought punishment if you disobey, crucifixion. It wasn't there before. The Romans brought it. See, but all these things, the prophets have said it many years ago that the time that Jesus Christ will be born, these things will be happening. Say, cursed is the one who hung on the tree. Are you with me? They've said it many years, 700 years, 800 years prior. They've said these things. And the Romans brought that. In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel, God warned them about taxes that is coming. They did not hear when they asked for a king. That's when God decided, I mentioned taxes. They did not hear. So God was prophesying. That means he was actually bringing his word to the fore. Did they hear? And today, God's word is being brought to the fore. Are you hearing it? And the Roman also brought something we call straight roads. Straight roads. The roads that you see straight, they brought it into being. They invented it. Because prior to that, people would only find road around obstacles. Yeah? So roads were like that. And they were not that big, like footpaths. But when the Romans came, they brought engineering and construction. And if you look at Roman history, any map of ancient Roman Empire, what you see is you see red marks all over the place. Like network of straight roads. And this was prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born. So he said, this is a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. So the Romans built highways. They leveled mountains. They filled valleys to make way for straight roads, even in the desert. Because where Jesus Christ was born into is a desert, right? Hello? Some of you have been to Israel before. So you will know that it's a desert place. In case you don't know, just go to Google and say, map of Israel, what is there? Or geographical map of Israel. And you see that it is just desert. So the desert were leveled, and in that desert, the Romans cut straight roads. So these are history lessons I'm giving you in case you don't know it. This incidentally made it possible for the ministry of Jesus Christ to flourish and for the gospel to move fast around the Roman Empire and the then world, known world. This is a historical fact. Where's my book, The Story? It's in the car. Please get it for me. Where is that? I had a book that I wanted to read. I don't know. I remembered briefly that I've left in the car, but I didn't go for it. But I'm just talking. So what I just want you to understand is that what Jesus Christ was about to do was predicted so many years before. What will come around times like this was predicted. Even lights that has become a symbol of Christmas was predicted. Even giving of gifts, as we see it right now, was predicted. And these were historical facts. When we come to read about the story of the Magi or the wise men, we know that they gave gifts. And I just want you to understand that our God has sorted it out, and He wants you and me to get connected with Jesus Christ. Unless you connect with Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that we talk about will not be yours. I'm going to read from this book called The Story. Anyone remembers that? Exactly. 5 years ago in this church, we went through the whole book of the Bible. And this book was our guiding book. Powerful stuff happened here in this church. And if you've been here in the past 5 years and you are still stuck on the mountainside, that is not where you belong. Where you belong is up on the mountainside. So some of you probably, you don't know where your story is. Go and grab it. I'm reading from page 309. It says, "The Birth of a King." That's the chapter. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made, that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. John himself, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwellings among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only one and only Son of God, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is the closest relationship with the Father, is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made God known to us. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne and the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How would this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the story. God's continuous story. To and for and of his people. This is a straight quote from the Bible in case anyone was wondering where it was. It's a very powerful book. If you're in this church, if you open your heart, you would have gone through that. And by this time, we would have been changed beyond recognition. Having a child is great. It's a great gift from God. But having Jesus is the greatest gift that God has given to the world and was given it to you. I hope you are listening. Having a child is a great gift from God. But having Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that God will give to you. So as you are thinking about Jesus, as you are thinking about Christmas, I want you to think about the greatest gift that God is offering you today. And if you are like people, you are like the people of the time of Elijah, today God is calling you that he wants to offer you the greatest gift. If you are the people of the time of John the Baptist, God is calling you. Said, "I'm going to offer you the greatest gift." If you are like the people of the time of Herod the king, when the story of Mary was taking place, God is today calling you to receive the greatest gift. And a gift is received close to your heart. I felt a little bit ashamed when my daughter said, "Oh, there's someone in our home, when they give Christmas gifts, the tree will be there, and if you don't remind him, he will not even remember that he's got a gift." This time I'll be first. Pray for me. The point is that if you know that there's a gift for you, run for it and you take it, you appropriate it, and you take it as yours, it becomes close to you. If it is a jumper, you wear it. If it is socks, you wear it. If it is a toy, you play with it. If it is something, money, you spend it. Whatever it is, you use it, isn't it? So that it becomes part of you. But if you leave it sitting there, it's your gift, but you haven't taken it. We're talking about experiential. So angelic visitation of the shepherd and the good news to the world was something that the shepherds appropriated. Let's go back to the story again. This is God's continuous story to his people. I'm reading from page 312 to page 312 to page 313. Said, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to register. And Judea also in Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available then. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, angels, appeared with many angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord has told us." We want to verify this for ourselves. We want to experience that. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told by the angels. Amen. Isn't it nice to listen to scripture? Beautiful. That's what Christmas is about. This is reality. That's why they quoted Caesar Augustus. That's why they quoted Quirinius. And history has proved that there was a census at the time. And I just want you to understand that what we are talking about, our faith is not theoretical. It's experiential. It is something that you want to immerse yourself into it. Because when the shepherd heard the story about Christmas, he said, "Oh yeah, Christmas is for the children are here. Never for the children, it's for us all." If you begin to say Christmas is for the children, your heart is far from God. Mm-hmm. If you say, "Oh, Christmas is all about food," your heart is far from God. If all that you are thinking about is piling up present and getting into debt and making sure that there's wonderful reception for your guests who will come and no God in your life, you are far from God. But today is the greatest gift. I had to speed up a little bit. Now, Christmas is a ministry of hope. About 850 years before Christ was born, King David wrote about Jesus as the fountain of life and light to anyone who look up to God. If you don't know this Jesus personally, this doesn't mean anything to you whatsoever. Let's read from Psalm 36, verse 9. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." For in Jesus is the fountain of life. When there is a fountain, that means there's life. Because fountain is always throwing up something. Yes? Even when there's volcanic eruption, sometimes it destroys people. But afterwards, people know that there are minerals. There are riches to be gotten. And therefore, they cordon up the place, and the smart guys go and pick those rich stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying wait for volcanic eruption so that you can go and look for money. Probably you'll not be the lucky one to get out. Because it throws minerals from the earth crust. It throws precious things. But that is not what we are talking about. We are talking about fountain, which is water. You see, water in the Bible is a sign of God satisfying us. It's a sign of God meeting our needs. It's a sign of God bringing, as it were, rest to your souls. It's a sign that your soul that is thirsting, that is searching, that is running after everything in this world and still not is satisfied, a fountain is a sign of life coming back to you. And we are saying that Jesus Christ in you is the fountain of life. For with you is the fountain of life. In you we see light. Sometimes life is like you are walking in darkness. You don't see where you are going, and everything looks so blurred. And sometimes not physically dark, but then sometimes you just can't see the trees from the woods. Sometimes you just can't see what the end is going to be like. It's all very confusing for you, all very stressful and oppressive for you. In your light, we see light. So today, if you are going to put lights on your Christmas tree or light some light, and this world has so much light around this time, I just want you to understand that the world does not know, but you should know that in your light, we see light. Amen. So our heart desire is to say, God, we want to see your light so that we see light in our lives. Amen. Round about the same time that the prophet Malachi was speaking to God's people about returning to God, like I preached last week, and also about John the Baptist coming to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, confirming what his predecessor has said nearly 300 years prior. I mean, that is what, and this prophet, during that time of the prophet Malachi, there was another prophet called Zechariah. And Zechariah spoke about the good news that Jesus Christ will bring. And when we turn to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, it says that, on that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David. Did you hear the story that I was talking about Jesus Christ from the house of David? And the inhabitants of Jerusalem, did you hear about the census going to Jerusalem? Right. To cleanse them from sin and impurity. And when you read the book of Matthew, chapter 1, that Jesus, his name will be called Jesus Christ, because he will cleanse his people from their sins. So, guess how many years this was? About 400 years. 430, 420, around that time. So if I say about 400 years, before Jesus Christ was born, they were announcing this. And the people did not hear. So I just want you to understand that God has always revealing, he's been revealing himself to you. He's always saying, you know what? I have made a provision for you, and I want you to get serious with me. And some of us, this is the only time we go to church, Christmas time. Some of you have been invited here for the first time. God bless you, because you're coming to hear the truth about Christmas. And those of you who've been sat here for years and months and months, I want you to hear the truth about Jesus one more time. The inhabitants of Jerusalem, from the house of David, on that day a fountain will be opened. Same fountain that was spoken of by David over 400 years prior. Now, another 400 years and someone is saying that. Same story. This time being very specific and what Jesus Christ is coming to do. I'll talk about one more prophet and I'll leave you alone. You see, another one of God's spokesperson called Hosea. He demonstrated to us that being a Christian, or saying that we believe in God or have a knowledge about God, or that we know that God exists, is not enough. It's got to be experiential. You got to experience it. It's got to be your reality. It's got to be something that we can see in you that it is happening. People can see you, can hear you, and can fathom it when they see you. And this prophet Hosea was a holy man of God. But you know what happened? God told him to go and marry a prostitute. Mm-hmm. You're outdoors, so I don't have to explain what it means. A holy man of God. Because the people were not turning to God. People who call themselves Christians were on the margins. They stuck on the mountain. They were not moving anywhere. They've had enough of God. And therefore, they were happy to say, oh, I'm a Christian. Census comes and they're feeling, what religion are you? I'm Christian. And at the time, God said, go and marry a prostitute. That's unthinkable for a man of God to do that. But God did so. He said, you people of God, you know what? You've prostituted yourself. You've dirtied yourself. You've allowed yourself for anything to happen to you. And you still don't see how horrible it is. And this man of God had to go to the brothel. Because at that time, God is saying that, told the prophet that when you have a child with this woman, you have to call that person, not my people. Hear that, not my people. And yet, he was a man of God. He was God's man. And yet, the Israelites were God's people. But God said, you are not my people. So I just want you to know that not everybody who said, I know Jesus Christ, I have a knowledge of him, I think about him, or I only pray when I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, I'm in trouble, or yeah, I believe in God. It's not that. You are not my people. And this man went to the brother to literally pay to want to have literally a relationship with one of the prostitutes. And he decided whom he wants. He wanted his wife. And when he went there, he told his wife, come home. I've paid a price just to be in this dirty place. Come home. The wife came home for months, got pregnant again, and then went back to the same place. What a heartbroken story. The gist of it, you can find this in Hosea chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. That book is strewn with things like this. So this man actually experienced what it is like that Jesus Christ, a man who knew no sin, had to be made sin, had to be made dirty. And who was crying and today crying and said, come home, come home. Christmas is about coming home to Jesus. Wherever you are, if you know you are far from God, Christmas is the time to come home. Christmas is to come and have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. Christmas is the time for you to know God intimately. That is what it is about. Christmas is to experience the presence and the power of God. It was a heartbroken story. And this woman eventually came home. When they had a second child, God said, now you will be my people. So today, I want to say there's hope for us. We will be God's people again. We'll be God's people. So God's, the ministry of, that Jesus Christ came and brought is a supernatural ministry. The shepherds were not satisfied to hear the good news about Jesus Christ, but they literally wanted to have an experience of the reality of what they've been told. They needed to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to herald more than Christmas, but the birth of the supernatural ministry. He came and said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. He baptized people with water, but he also said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit overshadows you like it overshadowed Mary, it releases supernatural energy. And for us as Christians in our dispensation, when it overshadows you, I heard Alice talking about, supernatural encounter and inner healing. You know what? God releases supernatural power upon his people. And those who've come on it, I just want to challenge you. If you open your heart, something would have changed. If nothing has changed, that means your heart was closed and it just went through the motion. You say, I've gone through that. It's got to be experiential. So that you can encounter Jesus Christ up close and personal. Because you have to begin to speak to God like a man speak to his friend. You've got to begin to see the demonstration of the spiritual power and the Holy Spirit power. As I said, in this church, we are no more nothing is happening church. We are something is happening church. When we come here, each Sunday is different. So if you are staying at home and thinking, I'm going to start to know that place, that cold place that I'm just going to. Even the physical place has changed, isn't it? Hallelujah. It has changed remarkably. Who would have thought that we have more than 1,000 English pounds to do these works? Some of you put nothing. God bless you still. But those who put a lot, God bless you even more. Because you've made it possible for those who held their money to receive blessings and for many more to come to receive blessings in this house. So we will say that Jesus Christ came to live the supernatural ministry, which he wants you to continue to receive it. So if you are stopped somewhere in the discipleship pathway, I want to encourage you. If you don't know about new life and new beginning that we are talking about, today is the chance for you to say, I'm going to have a new life and a new beginning in my life because Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate his birth here. The ministry that Jesus Christ brought is preaching the good news. As I'm preaching, to make disciples, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons, and relieve those who are oppressed. Some of you are oppressed by circumstances, oppressed by a curse, oppressed. And a curse is a pattern. When something keeps repeating itself and it's not a good thing, and you know this thing is in this, you look at your family, it's there. Or you see in your life and it happens, or it happened that time, and it's happened again, there is no end to it. That means a curse. It's a spiritual wickedness at work. And here in this church, we know how to break these curses. So I'm challenging you. Let not today be your last time you come into church. Don't be that person who comes to church one Sunday, the next Sunday, I don't feel like coming. I feel like watching my favorite game. I feel like doing other things. Be in the house of God. That's where you're going to be released. Yeah, you guys can come back. I'm finishing. So, Jesus Christ came to do this. So I'll read the last Bible verse from Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 to 11. And that was when the wise men went to Herod and said, we have seen his star from on high. We've seen it from a distance. And we want to know what is going to happen. We know that a king is being born. And we want to go to that place. So Matthew chapter 2 verse 10 to 11. We want to know that a king has been born. And we've been told that he's been born in Bethlehem. And we want you to show us where it is. Herod said, I have not the foggiest faint idea about it. But go and search for that person. But when you find him, come and give me a word. That means come and tell me, and I also may worship him. That was cynical. Sometimes somebody invite us to church, and we come and we're all cynical, like Herod was. It's not about being cynical. I've told you about history. I've told you about reality, and I just want you to understand that when the wise men came, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. This is incredible. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. But when they came to the house where the child was and saw Mary and the baby, they bowed down and worshipped Jesus. Today, are you going to bow down and worship Jesus? The Magi knows historical facts recorded by the Chinese in their history and their chronicles that at the time that Jesus Christ was born, they calculated it to show that they call it a comet moved. And the comet moved so slowly from the east to the west. And as it was moving to the west, it was so bright. And that comet was so powerful, indicating that someone who changed the course of history is going to be born. For that reason, the wise men, the magi, the astrologers, the kings, people from priesthood and educated men, they said, we are going to look for this person because it's going to change the destiny of people. And today, God wants to change your destiny. God wants to re-leverage some of you to your own destinies. And are you ready for that? Today, a voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see him. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What is the crooked place in your life right now? What are the valleys in your life right now? What are the mountains in your life right now? You may be saying, I've been praying for a long while. Nothing is happening. and your daughters were here on this stage revealing to you the glory and the power of God in the dance. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Today, the greatest gift should not be ignored. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is supernatural. It is yours. Now, I want our eyes closed. Keep on making some noise behind me. I'm going to make a call for people to respond to this message. I want to make it quick. Today, if you're here and you don't know this Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never given him a chance to enter into your life and have an experience of what it is to be a transformed being, I want you to stand up right now and I'll pray for you. Today, if you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know God's continuous story, you don't know that he's here to transform your life, I want you to be on your feet right now. You've never given him a chance. I said, Jesus Christ, you be my Lord and Savior. If that is you, I want you to stand right now. Don't go home. Don't go and spend this Christmas without having this opportunity and letting it go. Just like the time of Elijah. Just like the time of Hosea. They will not listen. Are you listening? Who is that person who wants to stand up for Jesus right now? I feel in my heart that someone wants to stand up for Jesus. God bless you. Who else wants to stand? Your eyes are closed now, but I'm praying. Who wants to give his life to Jesus today? I'm going to call another group of people who want to rededicate their life. Rededicate means that now you are coming back to Jesus. You are saying that I'm going to start anew. I'm going to be serious with you. In the coming year, it's going to be a new thing. If that is you, I want you to stand on your feet. Maybe there are some of you who, like Alice and many more, who had pitched your tent on the part of the hill. You don't want to go nowhere. This is as far as you will go, but that is not enough. If you want to give your life back to Jesus, you are going to say, no, in the coming year, it's going